We're back with the All of You podcast. Life has been crazy lately. And normally we come in with an idea of what we want to talk about and we muse through that topic. Today, I think I just want to let people into our lives a little bit and what's going on and how we're handling everything going on, for better or for worse. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
So, Dave.
It's all on me right now. You feel comfortable saying let people in because I'm the one.
Yeah, it feels really good to let people in and not have to talk about yourself. It's my favorite kind of letting in.
Letting them into me?
Yeah. Yeah, it's my ultimate deflection tactic.
Oh, man.
I'll open up a little bit later, but right now I'm going to ask you, how's your job going?
Not great. It's terrible. It's been rough lately. Yes, I've been at the job for 10, almost 11 years, and it was pretty steady, and I worked my way up from an installer to a senior director with the company, so I've known everyone that works there and have a lot of good relationships, so it's been crazy. I have multiple best friends that work for the company that have been laid off, and it's been tricky. I don't really want to get into like the company and what that's about, but it's just been really challenging personally.
It's interesting that you've touched on it being challenging because the relationships, but the unknown that's looming ahead of you wasn't mentioned. Has it been more hard saying goodbyes than it is to not know what your future holds?
Yeah, I think so. I think the grief process that I'm going through has been saying goodbye. It's been so overwhelming. I haven't gotten to process the unknown yet.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. No wonder. I thought you were like calmly hitting this unknown with me. You haven't even processed that part yet?
No, I haven't.
Holy Toledo.
I haven't been able to process the unknown yet because I'm still employed by the company, and I'm still having to do work, and I mean, there's a lot of unknown. My unknown right now is daily. Like, what am I waking up to do today? I mean, yesterday I had to drive up to LA randomly. So it's really day by day right now for me, and what I might have to do, if I might have to lay off employees or do different things, like I don't know right now. And then yeah, there's a lot of saying goodbye on LinkedIn. There's tons of friends and coworkers that I have relationships with, just open to work, you know, processing the what they're going through. Conversation, a ton of people reaching out to me asking me if I'm okay, and it's not that I don't want to deal with me yet. Like, I want to know if I'm okay. I mean, the truth is I'm not okay. Like, what is okay? When somebody says they're okay, I don't know if there's a, I don't know what that means. Like, where everyone's barometer for okay is different, right? So that doesn't really tell you much. Like, so if I'm really saying how I am, it's, I have 1,000 feelings, and at any given time I could be processing different emotions with what's going on that day. And so sometimes I'm really worried about the future. Sometimes I'm processing the future and what it could be. I most of the time I try to elect not to worry about the future. I haven't found that to be a very useful tool for me, to stay worried about the future.
How does one elect to not worry about the future?
I think it's just that. It's It's like when my brain starts to go towards future worry or worrying about future scenarios, I go, no, monkey brain, stop. Like my subconscious, I just read a book and he calls it the monkey brain. It's like the evolutionary brain that kind of feeds you fearful thoughts and scarcity thoughts of worry and fear. And I give myself reality checks. I have a home. I'm not in danger of losing my home right now. I'm not in danger of not having food. What my real fear is when I do let myself worry about the future, my real fear is really, am I going to be happy?
Mm.
Am I going to have the things I want? And I can't worry about that. That's not possible to know. I can't worry about that. I can only just do the things that are in front of me today that align with who I am and the best decisions for today. So for the next weeks, possibly months, it's ending a 10 plus year, almost 11 year job that I don't even know how many different positions in the company and worked with so many different people, trying to end it well, because I have a couple really good friends that I really don't want to bail on. It doesn't feel good to. And then letting that season go and then starting a new one somehow in the right path. When you have like options or a lot of different decisions to make, you can get analysis paralysis, and that's really not helpful. But also, if you make the wrong move and move down the wrong path, like if I go take a job and then I like it and it's just good enough, you know, it just pays the bills, it's just good enough, it's comfortable, I'm lukewarm. And that's the worst place to be, because you need hot. You need to not like it or love it kind of in order to make a move. When it's just good enough, you're kind of in the worst possible place.
Would you say that just good enough is a synonym for comfort? Like just being comfortable?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Like it needs to be hot or cold. It either needs like...
Yeah.
You just don't want to be comfortable.
Yeah, I think being comfortable is the worst thing for you in any facet in life.
I know this about you because I love comfort.
Yeah.
You do not like comfort.
I mean, I love it. I do love it, but it's the worst place. I mean, think of it. Like in bed watching Netflix is the most comfortable I can possibly be. It's not good for me. It doesn't grow me. It doesn't do anything for me. It is okay to do sometimes, but you can get stuck in comfort. Like,
so you're actively seeking out something that's going to make you uncomfortable in whatever you do next.
Yes. Yeah, because it will be growing and challenging, and that will pay dividends in the long run. In a career, you should always be a little uncomfortable, I think. I like to grow and I like to face new challenges.
What part of this upcoming chapter that we have no idea what it's going to look like, what part of it scares you?
A lot scares me if I let it, but I don't know how fear is helpful for me right now.
So if fear, does fear not come up in your body? Or does it come up and you roundhouse kick it?
Yeah, it comes up and I roundhouse kick it. As much as I can. It's coming up constantly.
I was just going to ask that. How often is it coming up?
All the time. Like at my so it's like my body is in a state of fear.
Like fight or flight?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like my body is panicking. So I constantly feel this tension. I mean, I've woken up 3 days in a row. I can't turn right. Like my neck is all stiff. And I do yoga, and, you know, we try to get ourselves as flexible as possible and release the tension. But I can feel I have a lot of tension in my body right now. And I am constantly just trying to not let it take over my mind because I've let that happen before. And I mean, it's just not a good Dave.
So what does that actually look like though? Like feeling it in your body, but not letting it go into your mind.
Yeah. Like the feelings in my body, like are, you know, little tight chest tension in my muscles. My throat can get like my thyroid often can, you can feel tension and it don't know that much about the thyroid and the emotions, but I know they're really connected to the nervous system. The thyroid is. So my neck often will pulsate and have tension in it. And that's just my body saying like, there's a bear and there's no, and there is a bear right now, like yeah. Kind of in a sense, but it's a bear that's behind we're at the zoo and the bear is behind glass. So my body is kind of fearful, but the bear can't kill me right now.
So your mind knows the bear is behind mm-hmm. glass because you're telling your mind that.
It, yeah.
But your body doesn't feel the glass.
Yeah, and if that analogy was too far of a stretch, like the bear in this analogy is my work ending and the unknown of no income.
Yeah.
And how am I going to pay my bills and all that? But today, it's not an issue. It's a ways out.
You're basically pulling an Eckhart Tolle power of now. You're just choosing to be in this exact moment where there isn't a problem technically.
Yeah. I'm trying to be in reality, like stay, my body wants to fear, like, cause that's the human nature. Our body wants to be in fear or look for the problem. And I am choosing to be in reality and say, there is no problem today. There is no problem tomorrow. I have time. We have time. We also have a lot of ideas we want to pursue. And there's different thoughts of where we could work or if we could start a business or different things we're trying to do. And we're also spending time doing this podcast, which we love doing. So kind of have the time to dedicate to it right now. Let's spend a little time dedicating to it. See what happens.
The comparison game is tricky because everyone's definition of survival mode is different. Some would say we are in a really tricky state.
Totally. Yeah. Like some people would look at us and be like, holy crap.
We're absolutely nuts for thinking, let's spend our time on this podcast and not be searching LinkedIn, right? So like, I think it's humble for you to say like, oh, we're in a position where we can do this, which like, I think it's more so our mindset of believing in ourselves enough to know that we're going to be okay either way. That's allowing us the decrease in mental tension to be able to say, no, we're still going to work on our podcast. And we just believe it's going to actually all work out.
Yeah.
Because I would say before, and this is more me specifically, you've always been a little bit more willing to take risks. But for me, if we were in this position before I started doing so much work on my mindset, I would really be panicking and honestly losing my shit right now.
Yeah, you feel like you have a good handle on it?
I do. At this moment, I think it could change at any moment, but I'm trying to avoid that. And also really trying to ground in really into the reality that we're capable of figuring this out. No matter what it looks like, we can weather the storm. And I think the biggest thing I've learned and am learning is losing my mind and losing my shit is the worst thing I can do. Because once mental tension comes in and I start having thoughts that are not in reality, I start making decisions that aren't in alignment with my values.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound entitled to say this because it can seem like that, but I do think that survival mode can be a choice. That can sound really entitled, because there are people who are in absolute survival mode without it being a choice.
Well, I agree with you. I think you kind of just said it, that it's all relative and based off perspective. Like, some people that would say they're in survival mode are in the top 1% compared to other people.
Right.
Do you have running water? Do you have a flushing toilet and electricity? A food in your refrigerator? You might be doing a lot better than a lot of other people. It's just, where's your standard?
Yeah.
And raising your standards is great, but also understanding there are things that we think are keys to our survival that aren't. How many jackets do I need to own to live?
In Southern California, that number is pretty low.
Probably one.
One will do. Yeah. Is that how many I have? Absolutely
not. Yeah, exactly. So, like, we convince ourselves we need so much. The reality is we don't need near as much as our minds can trick us into thinking we need. So are we, when our body, like I was saying, my body feels like there's a bear. I'm losing my job, and it's sad, and it's hard, and there's a lot of emotional, it's very emotional. It's just been I care a lot about that job and the people, and so it's been really hard on me, but if I didn't check my mind, I wouldn't be being a good partner. I wouldn't be being a good dad. I wouldn't be able to make clear decisions on what to do next. So freaking out isn't going to help me. And the worse I let my body convince me I'm in survival, the worse decisions I'll make. I'll sell something for half the price that I should. But if I can relax and go, whoa, that thing is worth $1,000, not $500, then I can maybe wait a few more days for a better buyer and sell it for $1,000. And now I've doubled my money, and because you're not in survival mode. So survival mode can make you panic and make terrible decisions. Now, it's necessary sometimes too. It's not. Survival mode and fight or flight isn't a bad thing. And we talk about this a lot, is like, what do you listen to it or not? And I know, because when I meditate and when I go inward at night, every night pretty much we meditate, we go inward, and I come out and I go, yeah, I was in survival mode all day, and it started to wear on my mind. And then I meditate and I go, I can make some clear decisions here.
How does that come to you in meditation?
Ooh. I mean, so.
Let's go. Take us on a weird one, Dave. I know it's coming.
Well, I mean, it just depends on people's thoughts on God. I mean, when I meditate, it's a lot like prayer to me. So when I meditate, when I was a Christian, when I was younger, I prayed a lot, and I prayed to God all the time, all the time. And I spoke to him 99.9% of the time. And in the last year or two, we've been meditating, I don't even know how long now, probably 2 years. I don't know, at one point it kind of just clicked to me that I was clearing my thoughts out so that my brain could get kind of quiet, and then I listened to my intuition. So your subconscious produces all these thoughts all the time. And when you can quiet it and stop it and just let it kind of drift and do its thing, and you can get into your conscious brain of who you are really and what you really think, I don't know, to me that feels like God speaking, because it's just this inner knowledge in it, and it's so clear, and it's not audible. It's not God all of a sudden doesn't show up and go, Mr. David, you should do this. Like, it's not this like voice, but it is an inner knowing that shows up for me that's like, oh, I say I'm going to do this. I say I want to do this. I really am interested in these things, and how do they all interweave? And when I can get on through meditation, when I can clear my subconscious and really listen to the conscious brain, I see the path where they kind of all come together. And then that allows me to align with the next step. And so it does feel like God kind of clear, because it's just so clear. It is so clear. You'll literally sit there, like I'll sit there and I'll go, I'm not supposed to apply for just any job right now. That sounds insane. I'm losing my job. But it is necessary right now for me. It's what's it's like me taking care of me, and not just taking care of me, but taking care of us. And me taking care of me is essentially better for you anyway. So yeah, it feels like God. But I can't say that. I'm not going to sit here and say that God speaks to me and only me or whatever. Like, I think it's just your intuition, really.
Yeah, I'm actually really stoked that you shared that and didn't edit it out. I could see on your face you wanted to. So, fingers crossed this one stays in. A lot of weird things get taken out of this before it goes live. But I think that one's a cool one. Worth sharing. That's been a similar experience that I've come to with meditation as well, where I used to think, I mean, we have similar but different backgrounds with faith, that prayer was like my laundry list of like, and God, can you solve this? And can you solve that? And I used to be, if I were in the situation, like, God, help us figure out our next move. And I've found, for me, meditation is just listening. Like, I don't have to list my laundry list. He knows the laundry list. And it's just getting really quiet. And
yeah, I used to think of God as this big, you know, guy in the sky. And now God feels more like energy all around and everywhere. And that makes more sense anyway. Like how could God fit in a box, in a body or whatever? You know, like if God is really I am and everything, then essentially this energy source is that. And then how do you feel that energy source, and how do you hear that energy if you are constantly afraid of a bear? You're panicked, your mind is just what's next. And I feel like that's where 90% of humans live. 99, it feels like, when you talk to a lot of people, it feels like survival mode, and rightfully so. If you have young kids, or you work in two jobs, or you have less than $1,000 in your savings account, and you don't know if you break your arm, if you can afford to repair it, like if you don't know if you're gonna get sick, if that's gonna, you know, you're gonna lose your house or whatever, it's just scary. So you know we live in this, in a culture that's not really that safe, you know. It's keep up with the Joneses to the point of having no safety and security. I'll buy the nice car rather than have the savings for if my kid gets sick or something. Like, so we don't promote taking care of ourselves and creating safety. And so if we can nourish this safety and security inside our bodies, then you can, if God is speaking through energy and kind of intuition, who's listening to their intuition these days? Are you?
I didn't used to know how to hear it. But I think that's been probably one of the coolest transformation. I don't know if I hate the word transformation. I don't even want to use that, but like Actually, I would say I've broken the mold that was in my brain that thought that God had to be a certain way. And I saw it very rigid of like, this is how it is. This is what I was taught. And in allowing myself to believe I was wrong, and maybe there are other ways I can experience God, has allowed me the freedom to explore experiencing God in a way that actually feels more authentic. And that is through, a lot of it is through meditation for me, or actually feeling like energy. The church, weird way to explain it, often says like, or the Bible says like, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And I never fully understood that until I started learning more about and feeling more energies and understanding how that could actually be.
Yeah, and it sounds so, to an evangelical Christian, myself, like growing up as an evangelical Christian, that sounds so over spiritualized a little bit. But that's probably just because my faith upbringing wasn't open to that energy.
Same.
It was very rigid and logical. And it's funny because Jesus wasn't really logical. Like,
no.
If you look, nothing he said was really that logical. It was always like, who do you say that I am?
Yeah.
Like, sell everything your own. You know, like he was very much like, kind of just poking at people like a little bit, like, what if you come to him, he knows you, so he tells you what you need to do to reach God. And that was kind of Jesus's tactic. And yet in the church that I grew up in, it was very rigid, like, oh, do these things and this path will lead to a good faith, a life with God. But it wasn't, it was kind of cookie cutter. And I just don't think, it doesn't seem to me like God is very cookie cutter, because our experiences are so different. So what one person needs to let go of and address in their lives to live a better existence is going to be different than what another person has to let go of and work through. So it's not cookie cutter. We're so different. So, and really only you know. You have to address yourself inward and really find out what you need to let go of and what experiences you need to unpack, and, you know, what you're afraid of, what you're going through. And in meditation, you really hear, you can feel it. You can feel, like, just close your eyes and not one time.
No, it took us a long time.
Yeah, because you don't trust it at first.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while to open up your heart to your true intuition and really start to hear it and feel it. And
well, for me, it was, I had to unpack all the layers of conditioning. So all the things that I was taught were the truth, or what society said should be,
yeah, by
the truth.
And I would say mostly by our peers. I would say I was, through as a young boy, I was always looking around left and right at my peers, and like, and oftentimes at like the opposite sex, because it's like, you know, you want to be chosen as a partner or whatever. So you're thinking like, what impresses the other people? And so then that gears what I do, because I want to be impressive to my peers. And I'm like, you want status, you want financial stability, and your fear is kind of driving you. So what if you stop listening to your fear and you start to listen to your intuition and really do what you feel like you want to do? And not even what you want to do, but what you feel called to do.
I was just going to say, I think it's more called than want.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be doing this podcast. I feel called to.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, it's been hard.
Yeah.
It's been a challenge.
Yeah.
So
my
going
face
back to
on the internet, wildly uncomfortable, but I feel called to.
Yeah.
So you push through it. But man, we really took a little bob and weave with that one.
Yeah. But that, it, like, talk about how we're getting through what we're going through right now with, you know, you quit your job to spend time with the girls. And I'm now, I thought my job was pretty secure. I was pretty safe and secure there. And I knew it well and I was good at it. And I, now the business is, you know, essentially closing. And so how we're getting through it is kind of leaning on our habits,
mm-hmm.
doing yoga, meditation, keeping up with our relationship and checking in with each other, asking for support, spending good quality time with the girls. We took them to Sedona for spring break to really enjoy some family time, even though we were probably not at our best. We chose to show up as well as we could to create those memories and have that experience, and it was good for us.
Mm-hmm.
We could have easily convinced ourselves, we're not our best right now, it's not a good time.
Well, and ultimately, security isn't promised to us. Jobs aren't promised. Like, whether you work for a company, you own a company, you can lose your, like, security at any moment.
Yeah.
So really embracing that life is just going to be wonky and unknown, and almost expecting that change can happen at any time probably is the healthiest place to be, even though I don't like it, because change is scary for me. But I think the more that I experience change, the more I realize I can handle it too.
Well, that's the whole Eckhart Tolle Power of Now, is like, there is no real safety. So
all you have is this present moment.
Yeah. So what's the point of worrying at all? The pain that we create is oftentimes, I mean, we talk about this a lot. Pain oftentimes is fighting the reality. So if we can accept the reality in the present moment as a whole and stay in reality, it's painful. Sometimes the present moment is painful, but fighting it keeps us kind of making it more painful. Just accepting the reality is kind of the calling.
Yeah, I love that. I love that it's accepting reality can look like accepting your job is ending, but accepting reality can also be, instead of going, is not going into the place of fear of, like, you're losing your job and therefore we might lose our house and we might, you know, never be able to recover and our worlds might end. That's actually not reality. Like, I guess it could be, but I believe making the choice in believing we are capable, we can weather this storm, we can network, we have tools, we both are very hireable. Like, going to that reality, I think, and this is going to get a little bit weird, but has us vibrating at a higher frequency, because it's a going to the positive instead of going to the negative, where then you begin to attract the better opportunities because you're literally vibrating at a higher frequency.
Yeah. Yeah, because fear is just the lowest frequency you can have. It's not a good state to be in constant fear.
Right.
You're not a good vibe.
Right. And we might be losing people with this, because talking about vibrating on frequencies, is not something that everyone talks about, but
I think people can, well, I think nowadays with, I like their vibe.
Yeah.
It, I mean, that's that your is vibe what you're is your frequency.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Your energy exactly. is positive. Your energy. I like when I'm in the room with you, I feel this, I feel good. I feel right. this vibe. So.
And I if do. Someone has negative energy, it literally is like, that person has bad vibes.
Yeah.
And so it fundamentally is your good things happen to people who vibrate at higher frequencies because you want to be around those people. You want to hire those people. You like it literally pull it magnetically pulls
yeah.
things forward towards yeah. you.
You don't have to work as hard when you're attracting things and,
right.
and not, you know, we're not talking about being a supreme optimist, like, oh, everything's going to work out. Everything's fine. Like I said, I'm not okay. My right. body is in survival mode. I mean, I'm not talking about being a supreme optimist. I'm talking about just not being afraid of not stacking on weight to the already fearful situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't want to stack weights on it because the burden is my job is ending. Do I have a job today? Yeah, I have a job now. When is my last paycheck? I don't quite know yet. Do I need to freak out yet? No, I don't need to freak out yet. Like that's the reality. That is the reality. Could opportunities come up through the next few weeks? 100%. They probably will, and the door will get clear as I go. But just because it's cloudy right now and I can't see more than 10 feet in front of me doesn't mean the road ends 10 feet in front of me and I'm going to die. Like, I don't need to panic and slam on the brakes. Like, I can kind of keep cruising along and just trust and trust myself to figure it out. As I see the path get clear, I'll make the right decisions as I go down the road. You should trust yourself. So no, it's not like, oh, it's all going to work out. There's going to be a beautiful ending to this story. That's not, I don't necessarily know. I mean, I'll worry about it. I'll stress about it. I'll squirm a little like, oh, is it right? Is it wrong? And my mind will play tricks on me. That's natural.
Mm-hmm.
My mind will play the tricks. Mm-hmm. Just like everybody else's, my mind plays tricks on me too. But if the better I get at shutting it up and going, hey, get out of here. Like you're, and I don't listen when I'm having a hard day and it's end of the day and I've already been anxious all day, or I'm a little sick or tired or exhausted, or the kids have been, you know, maybe a little whiny or whatever. And then we get them to bed. That's not the time to make the decision. Mm-hmm. The time to make the decision is when I know I'm in the right mind and I'm listening and I'm like, this aligns with who I am. I'll know then that's the path.
That used to be me.
Yeah.
And it still is.
Me too.
Those are the thoughts that I have to, when they arise, those are the ones I have to roundhouse kick out of my brain.
Yeah, but I've made hundreds of bad decisions because I'd rather make the bad decision today than wait another day in the anxiety.
Mm.
And so sometimes it's better to wait and make the decision. Not all the time. Sometimes it's better to just take action. This isn't a, like, there's no right or wrong. Every scenario is different and you are the only one that can know. But you need to know if you're making a decision. Are you waiting to make a decision because you're afraid of what people will think of you if you do that thing? Then you probably need to go do it because it aligns with you to go do it, but you're in fear. The only reason you're not doing it is because you're afraid. Or are you doing the thing because you're afraid of waiting, and waiting is painful? Wherever the pain is, that's probably the route to go.
Oh, I hate how true that is.
Yeah, like if it's harder to sit here and wait, then I probably need to sit here and wait. If it's harder to move because it's scary, then that's probably when I need to move.
Right. The obstacle is the way.
Yeah. Ryan Holiday. Give him
Ryan
credit.
Ryan Holiday.
Go follow him. Daily Dad. What is his own Daily Stoic?
Stoic. Yeah.
He's awesome. But yeah, that's how we're getting through these days, is just calming the mind. What else? How are you? Like getting through it?
I mean, similar tactics to how you are. Really just trying to stay grounded in reality and what the truth is. And knowing it's not time to panic. If there is a time we need to,
yeah,
then we can. But trying to do all of the basically wellness tools that I know that keep me sane and grounded, staying in routine, making sure I'm reading every morning, making sure I'm going for walks, making sure I'm going to yoga. And when I notice that my mind is turbulent and I can tell that I'm off, going, oh, yeah, that's my monkey brain. I'm just turbulent right now. I don't need to listen to this. And choosing to not listen when I know my thoughts are lying to me. And then when I do feel my nervous system is dysregulated, basically when I'm in like fight or flight, there was a few nights, probably a week or two ago, I was waking up in the night and feeling full on fight or flight panic because I have much more financial triggers than you do. So us losing our stability when it comes to income is way more scary for me just because of my past and my triggers. So I have been getting triggered more lately than you. And it was happening. I'd wake up in the night, body is in full fight or flight. And I would just acknowledge it and go, oh yeah, there's my financial triggers. I fully feel I'm in fight or flight right now and that we're not going to be okay. That's not reality. And I would take a few deep breaths. And if I couldn't go back to sleep, I'd throw on my headphones, put a meditation on until I could get back to sleep. And that was helping me get through. And now I've actually been sleeping through the night. I think I've kind of grounded myself enough and really...
You fought off the bear.
I fought off the bear. I cemented what reality is into my mind.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Because if I didn't do that, I would be the bear. And you know that, huh?
You were the bear, yeah, for a moment there. Yeah, that's been us lately. It's been a wild ride.
It's not over. We're still riding it.
There's no security in the unknown. That's for sure.
Is there security ever?
No.
Not really. I think you actually have an advantage because your childhood actually programmed you. You have a core belief from your childhood that you can just figure things out and find a way because you always had to. And I think that's actually a really beautiful thing, a gift from your adversity. I've never seen you think you can't figure something out. It's actually unbelievable how much you think you could just figure something out.
Well, I actually don't understand why not everyone, like, how, why don't you have the belief that you can just figure it out?
Because I haven't figured, like.
But do you really think that other people are smarter than you?
That was my core belief as a child, was literally that I'm not as smart as everyone else. So I have to like actually unprogram that to believe that I am and that I am capable. Whereas
yeah, that's
innately
tough.
You are the opposite, and you truly, I've just never seen you think you can't figure something out.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I could build an airplane or something, but I think I could learn to.
That's what I'm talking about.
Like my faith or my confidence in myself does not come from believing that I know everything. It's actually believing that I don't know everything, and that if I could learn anything though. Like
that's what it is. Once you realize, actually believe you could learn anything.
Yeah, with enough time, like it's everything's figure outable.
Which is kind of the coolest life hack ever.
Yeah.
Because if you believe you can, you will.
Yeah. And everybody should believe that about themselves. Like you can figure it out.
Agreed.
Adam Grant's Hidden Potential. It's all about how natural ability is there for sure. There are natural abilities, but most of the time, 90% of it is just hard work and effort.
Mm-hmm.
Effort and attitude. Like this guy effort I used to work with, he said, yeah. Two things you can control, effort and attitude. Give me those two things and you're going to be great. But if you really want to, you could be pretty much whatever you want
whatever
to.
Whatever you
want
to be. Yeah.
So we got this.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. We're going to be all right.
Yay. This is good news.
Yeah, for our fear-based scarcity subconscious minds that want to make us,
brain.
That wake us up in the middle of the night and want to think that there's, you know, something to be afraid of. I mean, unless you are going hungry or can't afford to pay your rent and don't have a home, like reach out to people and that, like, I don't want to at all not validate the fear.
That there are people who,
there are people who are absolutely struggling and are sick and can't afford the healthcare insurance, like,
truly paycheck to paycheck. And
yes. But even from there, I have been there. I have been without a job, not knowing what I was going to do. But you can figure it out from there. And if you need help, ask for help. It's okay too.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Well, I think that's all for this week.
Love you.
Love you too. Bye.